welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Grace Break. Again, this is Tracy Worley, and as always, I'm looking forward to our time together on Monday. And today's guest is Squeaky Moore and KT Nelson, the producers and directors of The Face of Darkness, a documentary following three African-American males through depression, the conversation, and the other side of that. A Grace Break is all about refining energy, movement, and thought, and today Squeaky and KT will share with us their story, the documentary, and why so many are starting to talk about the conversation. And I could go into the bios of both Squeaky and KT, but our 30 minutes are going to go by so fast. I really want to just dive right in. And I don't know, has Squeaky been able to call in yet, KT?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
And Squeaky Moore is online as well.
All right. Good morning,
Good
Squeaky.
Morning.
Again, congratulations. I'm well. Thank you for calling in, and congratulations on the documentary and the message and the positive impact it's already having before the film has even come out. So I'm really excited about that. Right?
Yeah, that's really exciting. Yeah, like, I can't believe the feedback that we're getting and all the emails and everyone just saying that they're connecting. That just makes us feel so good.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so as we move into the conversation, and I want to let our listeners know again, everything about the documentary, information about Squeaky and KT will all be uploaded onto the website. So as we move forward, so as we go into Grace Break and the who am I and why am I here, you both have an interesting story of how this documentary started. Can you share with us that story?
Wow, yeah, definitely. I'll start and I'll let Squeaky come in. This documentary originally started, I had suffered from depression a long time ago, but the initial documentary got started when I lost a friend of mine, Lee Thompson Young. He's an actor and he committed suicide, and I couldn't sleep at all. And so one night, the day after he died, I was finally able to get some rest. And I was in the bed, I was laying there, and in my sleep I heard God say to me, and Lee said to me, you need to do something about this. And so from there, I called Squeaky the next day, and I was like, Squeaky, we need to do something about this. And I said, I want to do a documentary, and that's where we started from. And Squeaky and I, we came up with this brilliant idea about how we can help people and, you know, share their stories and be truthful. And Squeaky just came up with these brilliant ideals, and she can tell you more about right now.
Just as Kenneth did, I also struggled with anxiety initially, and then it kind of merged its way into depression, not understanding it and just feeling really not present for quite some time, actually. Over a year I had felt that way. So when Kenneth came to me, you know, it made sense to me as a filmmaker, because part of my mission behind creating films is always to do socially relevant topics that I always love to merge in topics that affect the African-American community. And so as Kenneth and I started doing the research, it was just it just kind of was amazing to me just how few African-American people seek treatment or even seek to be diagnosed. And so I thought about myself, and I was like, well, yeah, because I thought I went to the doctor, but I wouldn't really allow them to, I wouldn't do any therapy. And so it just made sense to do the project and to, you know, to renew the mind about depression and you know, mental illness, but just to really renew the mind. And so as we, you know, got started in the very beginning of research for this documentary, it just became so evident that it was a much-needed project. And Ken and I, you know, it was really about how can we hit people over the head, how can we connect with people on their level, meaning, you know, not another documentary about facts and statistics and things like that. Yes, we want those, but how can we come to people on their level? And it was like, hey, let's really start the dialogue. Let's let people see what it's like while in the trenches of depression. And so that was kind of the vision behind it. Let's let people see themselves on TV, on screen. And so that's what we've been doing.
And let me just say this really quickly. I had suffered from depression. I just really want to tell that story really quickly because it's very important, because I was preparing myself for this documentary and I didn't even realize that I was doing it. I had lost both of my parents within like a 2-year span, and my depression was so, so bad that one day I was laying on the couch and the whole left side of my body went numb, and I didn't know at that time that I was actually suffering from depression. I went to the emergency room, and they informed me that they thought I was having a stroke, and they ran these tests, and they realized that I wasn't. But then after they did more investigations, they realized I was suffering from depression and anxiety, and it kind of manifests physically in my body. And at first, when I first was depressed, when I found out I was, I didn't really, like, understand why, you know, I was feeling the way that I was, even though I had lost my parents. But with all of these other things that were happening, I ended up seeing a therapist. I ended up talking to people, but I didn't really want to share it because I was kind of embarrassed because of the stigma that was associated with it. I didn't want people to think that I was crazy or anything like that. So I dealt with that like 2 years prior to losing my friend about dealing with depression and not telling anybody about it. So I understood firsthand what the stigma was because I was living the stigma myself.
Yeah, and the conversation is so hard to start and to finish. Because it's hard, the depression manifests itself in our bodies and our psyche differently. I mean, everyone's kind of different.
Yes.
So, KT, you just talked about the whole left side of your body went numb. Who would have think that that's from depression, right? So it's
right.
Opening up that conversation. And, Squeaky, you talked about the research and what excites me. Everything excites me about the documentary, but the research and the team that you've pulled into here. Can you talk about the team you've pulled into here for that research?
Yeah, for Ken and I, just beyond our research, it was important to pull scholars in who, people who, you know, are educators who have written, you know, materials. We wanted to pull in Terry Williams and Dr. Jess Gardier because obviously Terry, not only is she educated in it, but and not only is she an advocate, but she too experienced and have been coping, you know, has over time coped with depression. And then Dr. Jess, you know, he's the go-to person about the mind and what people are experiencing in their minds. And so, you know, we have other people. We've researched. We've talked to different clinical psychologists and
Dr. Sydney
and Dr. Sydney Hankerson and
Asha
Perry,
yes.
And David Rothwell, who are all either consultants in the matter, or you know, they're connected in some kind of way. But more importantly, people who understand personally, and that's what, you know, it's. The reason why, and our documentary will definitely touch on families, because a lot of the times people who've never dealt with mental illness or depression just by itself, they don't get it, and they think it's something that it's an easy get over, you know, and it's really not, and you don't know that until you have literally been in that moment. And so sometimes going into it and talking to those families so that they can be aware of what really goes on in the head is key. Otherwise, and that's what we feel is the reason for the stigma, because they're clueless about really what's going on. It's about
mm-hmm.
having the crazy family member that stays in the back of the room, oh, that's just my crazy uncle, or blah, 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 blah. And talking specifically in the African-American families for the most part, because we're not dealing with it. But the thing is, crazy uncle probably is just has a mental illness that can be treated and can be worked on. And so for us, it was about pulling in, and it is about pulling in the right team. And even as we go forward with the preparation of continuing the documentary, you know, it's about, okay, you know, holistic treatment. It's about, you know, getting knowledge on every realm, hypnotherapy. It's just all forms of treatment, because there is no right way for there's no one way for every person. And so
right.
it's not just about getting one person in on this. It's about getting a whole host of doctors and scholars and things like that who've done the research to help us pull together the best research and the best resources for people.
And it was so important for me. I'm 29 now, and it was so important because when people think of depression, they're like, what is this young 29-year-old, what does he know about depression? But depression, I mean, I've even heard about young kids committing suicide because they're depressed. So depression is not, you know, it's not age-specific, you know, which we found, but also, you'll be surprised. There are a lot of people that are walking around depressed right now that are coping, that don't even realize that they're coping with depression. And some people are drinking a lot. Some people have a lot of sexual activity that they're doing and so many different things that they do, or they feel the way that they do, but they're actually suffering from depression and they don't even know. I remember when I was depressed, now in hindsight, I was eating a lot of sugary food, and I remember feeling like really, really happy. But then after I, you know, would get my high from sugar, then I would go really, really low. I didn't know I was suffering from depression. I just thought that I was just feeling that way. And those are the things that I think people need to talk about as well, because you have to be aware of certain signs of it. And I think a lot of people are not aware of that.
And it's numbing the pain. It's finding ways to not face what we're doing in some retrospect. And depression is a whole other thing, and Squeaky talked about it. Everybody is different. So how do we start that conversation? So congratulations to you for starting the conversation. And the taboo subject and the documentary is really focused toward men.
Yes.
And that we don't talk about it. We don't talk about, you know, how I'm feeling blue. I'm feeling a little hopeless. So you have this male figure with the taboo subject. It's like, I'm feeling hopeless today. And how do you start that conversation?
They teach us at a very young age as a male to be tough. Don't cry. Don't cry like a little girl. You know, even when you're young, it's so important to have self-expression. That's part of the human experience. But then I think we have to start letting our young boys know and our fathers know that it's okay to cry. It is okay to express yourself, because these are natural emotions that you're feeling. And I think if we start, you know, when we're young with our young boys, letting them know that it's okay to have these feelings, then it will kind of, you kind of grow up that way, and you're able to deal with things when you're older. But I think that starting the conversation is great, but I think, you know, offering solutions as well, because I remember when I started doing research when I first started working on this project. So I would just always bring up depression wherever I was at. I was, you know, telling people, you know, what was going on with me or how I felt. And then once I opened up the dialogue, then they start telling me about themselves. It's like, oh my God, I didn't want to tell anybody this, but I was taking medicine as well, or I had thought about committing suicide, or I knew someone that did. I think if people have a platform where they feel safe and not judged, I think that's where it has to start at as well. And I think education is so important, because I think that we lack the education of knowing, you know, dealing with mental health.
And going to somewhere with no judgment, and we talked about this a little bit before the show started today, is the church. And
yes.
So many churches today, depression and mental illness is still not addressed or supported. Can you talk to us about that too?
Squeaky?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. As far as not being supported, I can't say that I necessarily feel that the churches are not supporting it necessarily, but addressing it is another story. I definitely think it's an underserved topic in churches, but more importantly, my point of view personally is that that some of the stigma could come from the church, especially the early church years. Now, with the gospel being more of a contemporary way of life, it's kind of evolved, but we still have the mentality that we have from way back when our mother's mother's mothers or father's fathers is that, you know, God heals everything. And, you know, so we kind of grew up where don't take medicine, just believe in God type of deal. And I think even though we don't realize where we get this mentality from, we say we stray away from medicines and things like that because we believe in God. And so I think that plays a huge role in why we're not, you know, taking medicine, or why we're saying, no, I know I feel like I'm going crazy and my head is about to break and I'm really down and depressed, but I don't want to take any medicine. No. And it's because of early church. I really believe that. I do think that as well the topic should be discussed, or, you know, how to deal with illness in general, and how to deal, and just topics around illness and medication with, as it relates to God, and really what the Word does or does not necessarily say, the truth, what's in the Word of God about the topic of medicine or depression or illness, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
as a whole. Yep. So I think that's a topic that certainly needs to get more coverage in churches, to be honest.
And I know for me, when I was depressed, I had a spiritual counselor that who guided me in my process as well. I think everything that I'm telling you that we're going to do in this documentary, and also things that we haven't, that I didn't do, it will be included, because I like I said, I saw a therapist. I've had a spiritual advisor, but I know that, you know, for my other friends at church that I know that was suffering, they didn't, you know, they sit in silence, you know, and they, you know, hoping and praying. But I'm glad that I was able, if it wasn't for God giving me the options that I had that was in front of me, you know, it was like, here, God was saying, here, son, this is what you have. Try this, try that. And it was because of my faith that kept me. I mean, because if I didn't have a God, honestly, I would not be having this conversation with you right now, because it was my faith that kept me, and I just knew that I was going to be okay. But it was because of I had doctors, and I exercised, and I had all these other options in front of me that God, for me, allowed me to tap into.
Right. And there, you know, and this is just the premise, and I've been in conversation with other Christians and a couple of them pastors, and they will say, I don't understand it, and if we have faith, you know, medication shouldn't be part of it. If you're depressed, lean on Jesus Christ and the gospel. But it's that whole conversation of understanding between the addressing and the supporting, and I really love how you stated that, Squeaky, addressing versus supporting. Because even in my own church, we have men who are depressed, but they don't talk about it because of those conversations.
And I think it starts with leadership, too. I think if we get, I mean, if our leaders in our church, you know, start the dialogue, I think if they take the responsibility, which they already have a lot of responsibility already, but I think that mental health, that's where everything is centered around. That's how you operate in your day-to-day. If your brain is not working, then you can't live. You can't get anything done.
I just think that as far as the church goes, you got to think of it like this. Like, if I broke my leg, will the preacher tell me not to go to the doctor and not to take pain meds and not to get a cast on my leg?
Right.
No. So it's the same applies. You know, God is not just, I mean, yes, he can certainly heal. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe in healing and so on and so forth. But
yes,
there's a doctor in place for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And so it's the same with mental illness. It's, my mind, if it's not working properly, or if it's off balance, or if it's something's not quite working right, then I'm sure it should be treated no differently from a broken leg or a common cold or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I can still believe in the power that it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Believe in the power.
I mean, I can believe in the power that it will heal correctly, and I can believe that God will touch the doctor and anoint the doctor as he's putting my leg back together, and I want to believe the same thing for my mind, that I can, that he'll put me with an anointed psychotherapist or whatever type of doctor that I choose to get with, whether it's cognitive therapy or whatever kind of therapy. You know what I'm saying? That he'll anoint that person. The belief system doesn't change in the healing, but that doesn't mean that I need to forego doctors and medicine altogether.
Exactly, because I know for me, I even took medicine. I didn't want to take it because, it was that stigma. I was ashamed, even in trying to get healed. I was like, should I really be taking this medicine? But the medicine helped me. It changed my life.
And that's, we talk about the broken leg, so in faith in the church, we have faith in things that we can't necessarily touch and see. So broken leg, yeah, we're going to go get that fixed, but when it comes to mental illness and in dealing with that, you can't see it. You can't hold it. So it's kind of that paradigm shift. And as we go into the conversation in the documentary and working with your three men and some others within the community, where is the courage to fight? Because when we get into the nitty-gritty, it comes to that individual to find that courage. And where do you see that coming
from? That
is,
that's something that we think over time by showing people, by showing the courage that these men will actually reveal their day-to-day, we're hoping that gives a sense of courage to other people, all individuals, not just black males, but all individuals,
right,
to say, oh, it's not such a bad process. Okay, they got diagnosed, but there were several ways of getting them to a better place in life. We're hoping that will kind of change inspire people to seek help and to push towards, or to give them a bit of motivation to get help. However, one thing we can't do is change someone's willpower. I mean, God didn't. If you're a believer in God, I mean, he even gave everyone a will. I mean, they have their own will, right? And so that's the one thing we can't do, but we do want to help to influence and help to inspire. And that's our goal, inspire dialogue, inspire the sharing, start a worldwide dialogue so that people are saying, oh, they're just like me, and this is
me
the
too.
Steps that they
yeah.
took. You know,
there's power in sharing. There's power in that, and that's what we've seen so far. And so we hope once the documentary is complete that people will see themselves and get help and know that they're not alone, because you are not alone. There are so many people that are walking around with so much right now that can't even live their full life because of the things that they've gone through or their experience. And we can just help them, guide them. You know, that's our whole goal. It's just to help save people through this type of ministry.
And that took courage for both of you to step forward. So, the everyone is going to be so greatly blessed with what you're doing and the courage to step up. I mean, KT, for you to sit here on international radio and say, hey, I'm – I was diagnosed depressed. I took medicine, and I worked through what I needed to do.
Yes. And to be honest with you, it was a struggle for me, to be honest with you, because when I first started this process, I didn't want to tell everything. But I was like, how am I going to try to help people if I can't be honest and really believe in what I'm saying? So I struggled with that at first, even in my own journey. Even up until this point, I had to tell, because in order for me to be a vessel the way I want to help people, I had to be completely honest. And so I just had to let it all go, because this right here, all of the pain that I went through in my journey is now power, and now it's going to bless other people. So I had suffering, but my suffering is not in vain now.
I love that. That just kind of gave me goosebumps. Suffering is not in vain now. So we have about 4 minutes left. The 30 minutes always goes by way too fast, and I want to take the last few minutes to really talk about the documentary, where everybody can go and learn about it. The trailer that you have on YouTube, and it's even linked up on your website, the trailer is phenomenal, and if the documentary is going to follow the trailer, I'm blown away, and I can't wait for the documentary to be done. So I'm going to give it to you or Danny or whoever to talk about the documentary. We have some challenges for our listeners today with the Indiegogo and Facebook and some other things. So take it away.
Well, because I need to run to a meeting, I'm going to actually let Ken or Danny take it away. But
okay, definitely,
I really want to thank you for interviewing us and for helping us to, get this message out and to start the dialogue. I really appreciate it, Tracy.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank
Danny?
You, Tracy. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
This is Danny Wright.
Yes.
Yep.
This is Danny. I serve as the public relations and brand manager for this project, and we just really want to encourage everyone to get involved. This is more than a documentary. This is a movement. It's a movement to increase awareness, but it's also a movement for to start a conversation, as we discussed, and also really get people to take that first step along their journey to healing. And
yes. Please go to our Facebook page.
Yes. You can go to our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/ Face of Darkness Documentary. Our website is faceofdarknessdocumentary.com. Twitter, we invite you all to follow us on Twitter at Face of Darkness and then the number one. And really, on our website, you can link to all of our social media links. And also, we really invite you all to go to our Indiegogo page. Again, the Indiegogo page, the website is way too long to spell out on the radio. It's easier for everyone to just get on the website. And right underneath of the trailer, there's a link for the Indiegogo campaign. We'd love for people to go to the Indiegogo page. If we can get 100 people to donate $10 this week as we near the end of our campaign for April, that would be phenomenal. So we need your support. Other people need your support as well. And so we really need you all to make this documentary happen, because we're in pre-production right now. And so everything is coming out of our own pockets. So we can't do it without you all.
So, yes, please support this project, because this project is going to help so many lives.
Sorry, Danny. We're getting a lot of feedback from your end. But listeners, www.faceofdarknessdocumentary.com. It's on also on gracebreak.com, all the links, everything that's there. Again, the challenge is go onto their Facebook page and like it, and go into the Indiegogo and see what it's all about. And the trailer is phenomenal. Again, Squeaky and KT, Danny, thank you for sharing your wisdom and bringing us into your heart today. Until next time, look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.
Thank you.